Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Carlos Solis
from Desperate Housewives.
Ooh, you taking it back to the mid-2000s? Let's go.
Why Carlos?
Because he has because his beard was just as much of a character throughout every season than he was, and it changed so much, and it was a reflection on him, I think. But I think he probably was a little bit gay. Because, like, I think Gabriel Solis, Eva Longoria, was the perfect beard for anybody in that time era, right? Because, like, if you're a gay man and you're trying to be so macho and so successful, like, of course you're going to marry a beautiful model and take her to the suburbs. And you're going to get mad when she sleeps with your gardener. And you're going to... Because maybe he was jealous. Maybe he wanted to be sleeping with the gardener, right? Maybe he wanted what was his name in the show?
I forgot, but that's kind of true. Like, he hired him.
Yeah, and maybe they had a thing, and he was like, wait, that's not supposed to be my little affair. Oh, John Roland.
John
Roland. So I think in another reality, we would have seen a little romance between Carlos Solis and John Roland. But then it would have been called Desperate Housewives, and they would have lost Gabby, so that's why they couldn't do it. But that would have been fun. It could be a little fun little fanfic. We should write it.
You should write it.
Down. Challenge accepted.
What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? I see you have someone here today.
Yeah, we have a special guest because sometimes we, I guess, need to bring gay men into the fold and get their opinions or whatever. No, but this has been a long time coming. We've been talking about this episode for a while. But Danny?
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and to be the token gay man.
Token gay man?
So what I do best. So
shout out to you. Thank you for being our token gay today.
I love it. Do I get a badge? Or like a sash?
I can make you one.
A sticker?
A sticker.
I have a pen somewhere.
Oh, cool. I'm down.
Honorary gay girl today.
Yeah. Congratulations. Oh, I love it. I'm not going to forget that like forever.
Do you want to talk about your gay name, your gay girl name that you just said?
My gay girl name.
Selena.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Selena. Yeah. That's going to be forever be my gay girl name.
I can see it. Isn't that what you're going to be for Halloween?
I wanted to be, but I think every year I tried to. I'm like, oh, is the body right for it? Maybe next year. And then every year it's just not there. So maybe.
The body is always right. The body is always right.
Yeah. I appreciate that. But I don't think you want to see this in a boost EA. So save that for after you see it. Then we'll see what's up.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm down. Let's do it. You could be Chris.
I actually think that I look a lot like Chris. So.
I think that would work.
I think you, I agree.
I'm so excited now. Okay, October can't come fast enough.
Oh my god. What has happened?
What's
been happening?
Oh my god. Well, as you know, I hate musicals. I don't like them.
Yeah, I know.
But I have a gay friend named Danny who's right next to me who keeps taking me to these damn musicals.
Oh my god.
So I've seen, of course, Mean Girls, right? That one was actually my idea because Renee Rapp is a lesbian, everybody. It's a win.
Oh, she's a lesbian? I didn't know that.
She just sort of, like, she had previously said she was bi. And now she's, like, sort of renounced the dudes a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's playing the lead of Regina in the new musical of Mean Girls that's out now in theaters. And what did y'all think of it, real quick? Would you see it again?
I did see it again, actually, because Danny needed to see it for his work. But that's a whole thing.
I had to review it. So yeah, I liked it. I thought it was fun. I'm probably gonna lose my gay token right now, but I don't remember the first movie. Like I saw it like maybe once or twice, but I didn't really like I couldn't recite any lines other than the typical like, you know, we were Wednesdays, we were pink and Glenn and Coco, you know, the basic ones. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun story. And, like, the music was pretty cool. It was catchy. It was good performances, I felt like. I loved, I forgot her name already.
Oh, Auli'i Caravalho.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, her?
I'm so excited to see her, like, kind of, like, spread her wings and get her flowers. Because I didn't see the other movie you said she was in.
Crush.
But I'm used to seeing her in Moana. And then she came into this role. And it was totally different. And I was like, oh, I'm happy for her. I really liked it. So
Okay, that's all y'all had to say to convince me to go watch it. She's in it, I'm watching.
She's in it, yeah. Oh, and Busy Phillips. Busy Phillips plays Regina's mom. And I think Busy Phillips was like, she had like only a handful of lines, but they were all hilarious. Like every scene she was in, wow. like she stole.
She was the new Amy Poehler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love to see it. Yeah, maybe I'm not a gay anymore either because I haven't seen it yet. So, I don't know. Wish me luck because I have a very like strong affinity for the old Mean Girls, and I'm talking. And I already know that this is a musical, and it's not based on the thing; it's based on the Broadway thing.
No, it is. It's the same. It's pretty similar.
Really?
It's very similar.
But they break out into song, which I don't know how I feel, but it's fine. It's fine. It's a very gay movie, and I'm excited to watch Renee Rapp do anything. So, shout out to her. I love her so.
Seriously, yeah.
I'm not so sure how random like breaking out into songs is anymore because we do that pretty often.
Okay, we don't have to announce that to the world.
No, I'm going
oh,
to.
Dang, this is my public
platform that I'm getting the chance to expose everything.
My
so
yes.
no,
we love to see
every day's a musical.
Randomly breaks out. Oh my god. No, yes, yeah. You are very correct. But I wasn't gonna put her on blast like that. But yeah, that is very true. My face like a walking music video. Like if you meet her in real life.
Have you heard us sing? We can kill our artistic rendition of Keisha Cole's Love. Like, it's nobody's business.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the kids are into that song again.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I think that's interesting.
Get your own,
ours.
Get your own power ballads. Get your own underrated power ballad, please. Thank you.
These poor babies, they you know, they were born into a failing society. No. So, you know, I'm going to let them have their little fun, you know. It's hard enough. True. But yeah, so we, of course, this is a movie and TV podcast. So just real quickly, I'm going to announce like the Bad Bitches That Won Things this year. And of course, I did not watch the Emmys or the Golden Globes because there's a genocide happening. So I could really care less what really wealthy people are doing right now. I don't care. But I'm really happy for these people. So AO won an Emmy.
AO won a Golden Globe.
And a Critics' Choice Award. She's amazing. So shout out AO every day for Bottoms, for Bear, for I think she wrote for Big Mouth. Like that's just a baddie every day of her life.
And she had a character role, like a voice acting role in Big Mouth.
A voice acting role in Big Mouth. Yes, she did. Her voice is, if you listen, it's iconic. Okay,
I love it.
And now. No, go ahead.
Sorry. I love it because she's so humble about it. I don't know if you saw the clip and they were asking her like what she would have told like her little self. And she said that she didn't dream about that. All she wanted was like dental insurance. So like, can you imagine winning like a Critics' Choice, a Golden Globe and an Emmy within a week of each other and then still being like, she's so humble. And I think that's crazy. Like, wow, she's going to go so far.
Shout out to Ireland, man, for real. Like, just with the talent. She's not Irish, no. There's just an ongoing joke that she's Irish, but even though she's not.
Oh.
Yeah, she played the donkey in...
in Shrek?
Yeah. Stop. No, in Banshees of Inisherin, she was the donkey.
Oh, she was...
Yeah.
Stop.
That's where that originated from, by the way. And yeah, no. AO's, like, so relatable in the fact that, you know... This whole time during the strike, the SAG-AFTRA strike, she was like, yeah, but, like, I just want to, like, get paid so that I can maintain my dog's lifestyle. Like, and that's just a realistic thing that people need to be reminded of. You know, these people in their Hollywood lives, I think they need to be reminded that, like, some people need to pay their bills, you know. So, shout out AO every day. Absolutely. Another favorite from this show is Niecy Nash won an Emmy for that godforsaken Dahmer. But shout out Niecy Nash, though. Niecy Nash Betts.
I know.
Her wife's last name.
Shout
her
out.
Her wife's last name. And then, of course, this is... it just shows you how far they have not come. Quinta Brunson won lead actress in a comedy series, and she's the only second Black woman ever to win. So that's kind of sad for me. I don't know. But yeah. It is what it is. Yeah. And then last but not least, our fave, who we love from Reservation Dogs, Lily Gladstone won her Golden Globe. And while she was up there, she spoke Blackfeet first. And I thought that was just such a cool way to like remind everyone that like there are all types of Americans and there's all types of people winning awards and there's all types of representation. So I just thought those were the people I wanted to highlight. Those are the baddies that from this year, from what I did not watch, but I really love them.
Fair enough. Yeah, thank you for finding that information, because I also didn't watch. You mentioned before that The Color Purple, like some of the actors were not, had some nominations, and like I said, been watching musicals for some godforsaken reason, but that one was that one was so good. And this is coming from a person,
Fantasia can sing.
Yeah, and like seeing Taraji do the gay thing was not something that I knew I would ever get in this lifetime. Like, I'd always wanted it, I never expected it, and I'm very, very grateful. That's kind of like the love story of the year. I know it's only been a month, but of the, to me, I'm like, damn, that was fucking beautiful. Like, something that I did not expect during the first 30 minutes of the movie. But it was, I thought it was really fucking adorable. Their whole relationship was like this warm blanket after a really fucking terrible storm of like the beginning of that movie, and so worth watching. Like, I don't know how people can watch that and turn their homophobic glasses on. Like, that's crazy to me.
I do have a question. Did they make it gayer than the first Color Purple by Steven Spielberg?
I haven't seen the first one. I'm like, Danny, do you know?
Okay.
No, so the book is very gay, but it's funny because it doesn't come out and say it right away. So I haven't seen the original Steven Spielberg movie either. But I heard that it's not as pronounced as it is. I think it's like barely touched on.
It's subtext. Because that
was the
90s, subtext.
Right? Or the 80s, mm-hmm. 90s? So, I mean, come on, you know.
Yeah.
But, so I did. So, the musical movie is a lot closer to the book in that sense, that it really kind of explores that and makes it more of, like, a main storyline.
It's not subtext. It's, like, the text. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's out there. It's out loud and proud, if you will.
Yeah, because I know that the book is written by a queer woman. Alice Walker is an openly queer woman. And I just thought that was, like, interesting how they kind of made the first movie kind of, it's subtexty, but when you read the book, it's so gay. So, but shout out to gay women doing things, and shout out to billionaires making movies. I don't know. That's, yeah. The least they can do is make it a little gay. But yeah, anyways.
A latte. Like, I genuinely recommend it. Really? I don't even like musicals. Like, go watch it. Mm-hmm.
I generally want to see Fantasia sing, because she is actually a singer. So, I'm going to watch that. I'm not sick anymore. I'm heading to the movie theaters for that.
You should.
But, God. Yeah. I haven't seen anything. I saw Ironclaw. Shout out to Straits, I guess. Sort of, I guess. I don't know. Let's not speak on what Zac Efron is identifying as, but shout out to him, you know.
I mean, the only thing I'm gonna do is what FIFA is failing to do, which is promote the Gold Cup for women. Ooh. That is coming up. Ooh. Really soon. it's coming up here in LA, and I think in Houston like late February and like early March, and then the finals in San Diego. It's gonna be amazing. You're gonna watch national teams. It's basically like World Cup light here in the States. Mm-hmm. And the US versus Mexico is happening here in LA. I think most of the games are double headers, like pretty cheap, like two games for the price of one. And I'm gonna be attending all the LA matches, and I'm really, really excited. And I can't believe that they're not promoting their own goddamn tournament, but this is me promoting it for them.
Yeah. Please continue to promote it, because we already know they're not going to do it. We know why.
Yeah. But let's get into my friend here and Danny, and maybe find out who he is, what he does, what he's about. Then we can get into our episode.
So, token gay. But other than that... I don't know, go like deep into details, like born and raised and all that stuff, or is that too much?
Yeah, I mean, you could touch on it. Like, I want people to know what you do.
All right, cool. So, yes, I was born and raised in California, Inland Empire, and
here walk really fast.
We walk really fast, inside joke. What else? I'm an actor and a writer. I'm pursuing that out here in Los Angeles. I'm also an author, working on a novel, and I paint a little bit.
A lot of it.
I'm a car singer. So Kara shower singer. So yeah. But yeah, just here to have fun and make beautiful stuff and share it with everybody.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Where can they find you? Do your social right now. Where can they find you?
Oh, cool. Okay.
All early and shit.
Excuse me. Yeah. It's on my social media. I'm on Instagram. I'm
why not?
At Danny Picante. And I have Twitter's Danny Picante, the same thing. I need to get back on there and start making it. Oh, X, actually.
It's Twitter.
So, yeah. But I don't really go. I should go on there and be more active. But, yeah. I love to share my stuff on there and post stupid stuff. So, if you want to follow me, go for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, the reason that we have Danny here today is because a few months ago, he was pre-gushing over this movie during the SAG-AFTRA strike.
Pre-gushing.
Yeah, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I thought it was something white just because of the name. And it turned out not to be, which is great. But we're talking about Aristotle and Dante discover the secrets of the universe, which is based on a book. So let's talk a little bit about that. How did you first come across this book?
So this is going to make me sound dumb. So I was debating on saying it or not, but I'm just going to say it, whatever. So I didn't know it was a gay book. Mm. Somebody recommended it to me and I bought it. And then so I started reading it, not knowing it was a gay book. And then like I started getting little hints of it. And I was like, oh. And then I saw that the cover, they won the Stonewall Award. I'm like, oh, it's duh, stupid. Like, of course it's a gay book. So then like, but it's done so subtly, right? Like, you don't, it's done such an organic and like natural way where it's just it's just this, it's a story about two boys before it's anything, right? Yeah. And then so yeah, so I read the book. I honestly read both of the books in like maybe 2 weeks. Like, ooh. Yeah, I wasn't even done with the first one and I was like, oh my god, I gotta buy the sequel. And I read the sequel and the sequel's beautiful. Have you read the sequel?
I have not read the sequel. I haven't heard like too many good things about it, but you can convince me right now if I should read
it. It's really good. It's a really good conclusion. Like it's okay. It leaves, it's a good place and like it's a good read. It's a little bit longer. And I was just thinking like, cause I was going to talk about just the book more, but I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I remember like what's included in each one. Like I read them so close to each other. Oh, so it's like, yeah. Oh shit. I don't know. But, yeah, so when I heard the movie was coming out and I heard Eva Longoria is attached, even though I just dragged Gabrielle Solis at the beginning of the podcast, yeah. But trying to steal her husband. But Eva Longoria is in it, and like she's one of my favorites. And so just to see her in that role as Dante's mom, and it's just a great movie. I love it. I watched it 7 times, and like it's literally like one of my talking points when I meet anybody. Like I talk about that movie. I tell everybody to watch it. I probably like shared it with, like, I don't know. I just love it. It's such a good movie.
It is so good.
It's one of my top films already. Like, just, like, top five for sure.
What did you think about it, Maita?
Yeah, I mean, to continue on my story from a little earlier, he drags me to see this movie, right? On a on the day that it comes out, basically. And it's not showing anywhere except for, like, at Universal Studios, because they have a little, area outside with the AMC.
That's far.
So yeah, so we go basically the opposite end of LA for us to go watch this movie, and the whole time I'm thinking, I'm like, this is gonna be bad, and I'm just doing it because why the fuck not? And then it's good, and that's what like was the craziest part. It's so good. It's beautifully shot. It's like it really puts you in the 80s like that. Really puts you in El Paso in a really lovely way. And the characters are like really interesting and they're really good actors. Mm-hmm. So it was all really a shock to me and my personal belief that it was me bad. So especially because like I hadn't heard of it. I still, you know, I don't think
so good.
Like no one really talked about it. But I'm really glad that I saw it. And I haven't gotten around to reading the book yet. But I enjoyed the movie. We just rewatched it for this episode. And I was just like, damn, like that was good. Mm-hmm. That was really fucking good. And I mean, we're gonna probably get into spoilers here pretty soon, so if you haven't seen it, you might not want to listen to it, but there were some key differences from the book to the movie that, and this is basically unheard of, that were for the better. Mm-hmm. You know. So I'll let you guys discuss on that a little bit since you have actually read the books.
Yeah, I don't know if it's for the, so it's the thing, I don't know if it's for the better, but like I didn't mind it, and I kind of feel like you know, like, you know, as a script writer, and I think you would feel the same way, my thesis, like, I think there's some things that can't be, like, translated, like, a lot of inner dialogue, because the book is narrated by Aristotle. It's through his first-person point of view. So there's some inner dialogue and some inner monologue that you just can't really translate. So it was kind of like, you know, the filmmaker's choice, and the filmmaker, the director H. Alberto, it was her directing and writing debut. And so I'm like, that's crazy to have your debut movie be such a beautiful film, like, and then it's like based on this beautiful book. And so I think that's so brave to have to make those changes, but like in the sense for the movie, the betterment of the movie, it really worked. And like, I don't mind it, because we've all seen those movies and like they change so much from the book, and it's like, oh, like that sucks, like this was such a big part of the book. But with this one, like, I know, yeah, like it wasn't a bad change. It was a really good change that I appreciated. And I think, you know, I think everyone kind of agrees, because I've been reading articles online saying the same thing, that it was necessary. And it's very well received.
One of the things that I did like was how they used the radio and music throughout. Because, mm-hmm. you know, like when you're reading the book, like you said, it's a lot of internal, and it's a lot of Aristotle on his own writing letters to Dante. So getting to see his like everyday, and getting to see him listening to music, and that music reflecting not only like 1987 and 1988, but like it reflects his emotions at that exact moment. And the fact that Lin-Manuel Miranda is also the DJ, and he's also who voiced the audiobook. So for me, it was kind of like a double treat, because like I did the audio version instead of reading it. Mm. And so like getting to hear, and I'm not, don't, no, having Lin-Manuel Miranda attached doesn't help me. I'm the opposite. But for me to actually have that kind of like that little music component working for me, I don't know. To me, it really placed him in a different, like, it placed Aristotle in a like more firm grounding than, say, the book would.
Yeah, yeah. And a little side note, I think the sound director just got nominated for an award today.
Really?
Yeah, I saw
they deserve it.
Yeah, because
for this great, film.
For this film. Yeah, for this film. And one thing about the book, so when we were watching the movie, I was nervous, but then I don't know if you remember that as soon as it started, like one of the first scenes with Aristotle and his mom is talking about like he was listening to Ritchie Valens, and like that conversation is in the book almost like word for word how it happened in the movie
right at the beginning.
And I was like, oh, we're in good hands. Like, we're in good hands. Like, I can breathe, because it's literally word for word how the book conversation goes. And I'm like, that's so smart. Yeah. That's so beautiful to do that. And because, you know, the author put so much work into the book. And then so it's like, you know, you don't want to just abandon source material. You want to amplify it. And I think H. Alberto did a really good job doing that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Benjamin Elise Sainz, he also wrote for the movie. It was between him and H. Alberto. They wrote some screenplay. I believe they worked on it together. They had to, because I did see him like listed on the IMDb, so he had something to do with it at some point.
Oh, really?
But let's back up a little bit. The book came out in 2012, and this movie came out in 2023, like what, September? Yeah, so it's been out for a while. You can see it on, I saw it for the third time on Hoopla. You can watch it on Amazon Prime, wherever you can rent it. But it's also free if you go through your library. So that's one way to watch it. And the sequel that we mentioned earlier is called Aristotle and Dante Dive into the Waters of the World. And it's going to be the sequel of it. I'm convinced to read it already, so I will. I'm just going to break down a little bit more people who are in it, because Eugenio Derbez was in it. He was Ari's dad. He plays Jaime. Dante Quintanilla plays Reese. I thought that was interesting. Like, he's a newer actor. I haven't really been seen in a lot of things. He has a great future. And Max Pelayo plays Aristotle. I think both of them are going to do incredible things if that door is open for them, you know? I think they can do anything they want. I think they're amazing. And for me and Maitha and all of us One Day at a Time people, you get to see a little bit of Isabella Gomez. Yes. She plays Gina, the town chismosa, and I love it.
I loved seeing her in a movie and like in anything again, you know?
In anything, absolutely in anything.
She played it so good too, that role. She played that role so good. The whole movie was casted so crazy good. But yeah.
In the book, they were more like friends, weren't they, towards the end? Weren't they more friends with Gina? Wasn't he more friends with Gina towards the end? Am I confusing that?
They were more of like, because they even meet like Dante and like, you know, in the not to give mm-hmm. anything in the sequel away, but they come out to them in the sequel. And like, it's just like they have, Susie and Gina have such a bigger role in the sequel. So uh-huh. it makes me hope they make a movie, because then they would have such bigger roles, you know? Ooh. But yeah, you're right. They had a little bit of a more of a connection towards the end.
In the book. And another difference I did notice, unless I'm crazy, is that like what and the book itself is a little bit heavier. A lot of it can be a lot heavier versus the movie, where I feel like the movie was more about their love story and about how powerful that love is, versus I think the book was a good 50-50, his trauma, right, mm-hmm. in his family, and like the other 50, his love story. And I think the movie making it more about their love, to me, kind of didn't make it so heavy, because I feel like I had to put the book down a lot because of the machismo and the repression and the whole not identifying as Mexican, or, you know, him dealing a lot with identity, Dante, and what it means for him to not be accepted by the community because he's queer, but also it's just a lot. It was kind of heavier in the book than I would say the movie. What did you think about that? Did you like that? You said you liked that change, but I think that's better for to make a better, happier movie. But I think the book itself went into more detail and to more introspection with the characters.
Yeah, well, I think, again, you know, it's the inner monologue conversation, right? Where I think, because we kind of in the book, we kind of go deeper into like Aristotle being scared of being a gay man. Like he doesn't want to mm-hmm. admit he's gay. He's like, no, that's not me. Like I don't love Dante. And like he kind of goes into that, and like
the whole book.
Yeah. And then the movie barely touches like on the AIDS crisis. They have like a quick, I knew you were going to bring that up. There was like a quick little news clip where they talk about it. But in the book, he talks about it more. And he's like, this is like, he kind of debates, am I going to be part of this community? Like, you know, and I'm not sure if that's more in the sequel or the first one. I'm trying to remember. But
no, there was references, but it was just about as much as in the movie and the book. They do mention it, but it kind of goes towards the end.
Okay, it's but like you were saying, it makes it a happier movie, and I think that's what kind of makes this movie so special, is that it's so like not simple. That's the wrong word to use here, I think, simple, but it's mm-hmm. so pure, and it's so like there's no like crazy CGI, right? There's no crazy like fight scene, there's no crazy like car chases. Well, there was one, but you know, there's no like car chases or like, you know, fights between like Godzilla and whatever. It's like, it's just a pure story about emotion and just growing up. And I think that's, we don't have a lot of that in the queer community. All of our movies are about like trauma, and they're always about like, oh, I'm coming out and here's how my life sucks because I'm coming out, and like, you know, or here's this character mm-hmm. who gets sick and then they die and they have this tragic story. And like, yeah, it's reality, you know, our community and our people before us have gone through so much, you know, to bring us to where we are today in 2024, even though some people try and, you know, take back steps and everything, right? But I think we've made such progress.
Yep, they sure do.
I think to finally have a movie that's just like a simple movie that you could watch with your parents, right? You can watch this with your kids, and it's such a pure love story, and it's so like innocent and again simple. And I know that isn't the right word because it has a negative connotation, but simple in the sense that it's just so like beautifully simple. I don't know, the way like a white rose is beautiful, right? A white rose is simple because it's just so pure and like
it has the right amount of their love story in comparison to like what all the other characters are doing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I was telling Maitha before anything, I was like, this is what like call me by your name thinks it is. Mm-hmm. You know, where like there's a crazy age gap there. There isn't a crazy age gap here. And they're both falling in love appropriately to their age, you know, mm-hmm. and you get to see a simple love story, but it's not really, you know, it's not simple. It's made easy for everyone else. What were you going to say, Maitha?
Oh, what I was going to say is like when they remove a lot of this like extra trauma out of the story and like focus in on this relationship, and like they do, you know, they have that in the news, they have this AIDS movement, you know, it's not like outside of Ari's purview. Like he starts this movie literally saying, talking about, not in these words, but talking about how he hates toxic masculinity. Like he hates the way that the people around him act. He hates the way that the guys around him are obsessed with women and how to sleep with them. Like he voices mm-hmm. that almost immediately. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they show him being surrounded by homophobia, like how people speak around him. So he just like turns into an introvert, and yeah. Dante comes and like shakes his world. So it's just, I think like because he is like subtle and he's introverted and he's to himself, that's why that simplicity works, you know, because like Dante simply comes in and like introduces himself and is like, hey, you know. So it works really, really well. And I also think that because they drowned out all those other traumatic things, they brought up like another scene that was not in the book, which is Ari going off on Dante after, spoiler alert, they kiss. Like him saying all that horrible shit to him. That doesn't happen in the book, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But they have to bring it in because everything isn't fucking roses, you know?
And that was one of the things that when I saw in theaters, I was like, like, it hurt my feelings a little bit, you know? I was like, wait, what? But then it's like, no, it was necessary because, like, in the book, I don't know if you remember, but the kiss happens so subtly. Like, Dante's like, oh, we should experiment. And then Aristotle's like, all right, let's do it. And then they kiss and they're like, oh, he's like, oh, it wasn't for me. Next. Like, they move on. It was super quick. It was a little quick kiss. But in the movie, it's this whole, like, Aristotle has this whole explosion. Says, get the fuck out of my car. You know, all this stuff, whatever, whatever. But it's like, I think the movie needed that to, like, kind of, like accelerate the storyline and kind of add that tension where we wouldn't have had it because, you know, it's different. But
you're right.
And it works. Yeah. I think it worked. I think it really showed Aristotle's like vulnerability and how he's so like not balanced in who he is. He's not sturdy in who he is, and that kind of just shows how the simplest things can throw him off. And then so in the end, when he says, "When I told you I didn't feel it, I lied to you," it makes more sense because, like, oh, he was lying. He was putting up his wall, you know, because he did feel something. That's what made him lash out, because he didn't know what it was yet. He didn't know how it was to love a boy. And when he was feeling it, he was kind of like, you know, wow, this is pissing me off. I don't know. You know, it just.
He was like, I don't know how to place these emotions.
Yeah.
But that was like the whole book. I don't know what to place my repression, the book. Like, that's what it, dear God.
What you said earlier about how he talks about toxic masculinity, and like right from the start, he's talking about how he doesn't want to be like these boys. I think for me, you know, as a gay man, I don't know if anybody else would relate to me, but I really related to that because I remember growing up in middle school and high school and being around these, like, you know, little boys that have all these crazy surging hormones, and they were all just like talking about like girls and like, oh, we're gonna go do this. And I was like, I don't want to be like that. I was like, no, like, I don't want to be like this macho, like, you know, rugged, like always going out and just like talking about girls and like having to be like, you know, just like someone that I'm not. So then I think when I saw Aristotle kind of going through that same thing, like, it kind of resonated with me a little differently. I was like, oh shit, like, yeah, like, you know, we do go through that. And even if not even in the 87 and not even now, you know, it's something that's really prevalent in our community.
Yeah, and that's like what I think the book and what the movie does better maybe than the book is also kind of like the timeline. You're kind of like, it's in the background, this time and place. It's El Paso, it's 1987, but it can easily, you know, be picked up and put it anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I feel like it makes it more universal. And again, like, we always say, like, the more specific you are to your experience, the more universal you actually are. And so, like, I love this, like, this story of this small town and these two people falling in love. And I don't know. I cried like 3 times during this movie.
Me too. I was crying so hard. Like, oh my God. It's so beautiful. Like, it's like, one word for it, beautiful. Like, it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't know if maybe I'm biased because I was going through some really shitty times when this movie came out, but like, it kind of like reunited me. It made me like light up, and it made me kind of like, just like, not to be cliche or cheesy, so maybe we can edit this out later if it sounds stupid. But like, I don't know, maybe it's just like, there's beauty in the world, right? Like the world's beautiful. And I saw like this film, and like, people made this film. Like, HLH made this film. Even the actors made this film. And it's like, so being in the industry, I'm like, oh, we can make beautiful things too. Like, there's so much beauty in our stories. And it just made me really inspired just to, like, you know, I'm out here, I'm doing it. Like, you know, let's go.
I mean, like, yeah, like, because during the movie, you get to fall in love with, like, Dante, and you're just like, oh, my God,
yeah.
You're so cool, you're so yeah. nice, like, well, look at you saving birds, like, wow,
yeah.
like, you're so strong, you're standing up for yourself, like, it just, I don't know, like, I think that goes back to, like, why people should make movies in the first place, mm-hmm. is, like, they can bring joy, you can actually, like, do something positive and have both a truth telling of a story, stick to like what the book was, and to also stick to the trueness of like a culture, to an identity, because a lot of the book was more about identity as well, and repression and war and depression and all that good stuff. And I felt like, I don't know, I feel like more kids need to read this book straight, not straight. You know,
I think so too.
You can always identify with repression nowadays, you know.
And with what you said right now about falling in love with Dante in the movie, I felt like that was one of my big takeaways from the book. I was like, oh shit, this author is really good, because you saw like Ari falling in love with Dante in the book. Mm-hmm. Like, you literally saw it happen. Like, even yeah. the way he would talk about him, the way he would refer to him, and it's like, oh, like he's liking him, he's getting a little crush, and you know, you get all like, oh, in your feelings and get all bubbly. And I mean, at least I did. I don't know if it's everybody, but you know.
Oh, I did like, too. And I'm gay and I don't like men. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cute.
It was so cute. Yeah.
But yeah, so.
Listen. Love the boys. They're so cute. But I have to say, there's something for us too that they brought into the movie that wasn't in the book so much, according to my source, Danny.
I think I know what you're talking about.
The gay Thea, like, that was my representation, yeah. personally.
Yep.
I saw myself in her. You think I'm not going to be slipping $40 to my nephew? Like, yeah, I probably will at New Year's Eve. You know what I mean? So I really, really loved her involvement and their relationship, because it's these little things, like him talking to her on the phone, telling her, oh, you know, you're the viejita, tú cuídate, you know? And like the small little scene at New Year's, and then him remembering her partner back in the day, and like never even for a moment like trying to be hateful towards her when he finds out about her. Like, and the way that, honestly, the way that his parents accepted her was really, really sweet too. I know that the way that the parents acted in general was very romanticized and maybe like a little less than what our experience was to be. Really interesting.
Yeah, because
I mean, that's a comment that people have said, like, oh my God, that the dad speech, you know, was like what Mexican dad has ever said those words ever? I mean, maybe there's one out there, maybe there's a gem, I don't know. But basically what I'm trying to say is that I love the Thea. I love that they brought her in a lot more in the movie, and that she was somebody, not just like this invisible thought.
Well, she wasn't even in the book. I mean, she's in the book, but she's only briefly referenced. She's in the book, but like they don't show her. They don't really. I think only in like a phone call here and there, and then, you know, spoiler alert, when she passes in the end. But in the movie, like her character's physically there at the party. She comes yeah. to the hospital when Ari got hit by the car. So you know, she's there. And I love when she would call him the most beautiful boy in the universe. I'm like, oh, if aww. Anybody calls me that, I'm going to do whatever they want me to do. Like, that's the key to my heart. And that was so cute.
Don't announce that out loud.
No, seriously, anybody, if you call me the most beautiful boy in the universe, you got my heart, honestly.
Oh, my God. His DM's about to get flooded.
Yeah, he is. His DM's going to get really full. No, but I was saying, what you were saying about the Thea. In the book, I think he kind of, like, explicitly says that that's his favorite Thea. And that he, like, loves her or something like that mm-hmm. in the book, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like I would have liked maybe for him to say it, but I guess I don't need to see it. I mean, I don't need him to say it if I see it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's another thing that the movie's doing. But in the book, he's pretty explicit about being like, oh, that's my favorite thing. I love her. And then he just says, you know, goofy stuff to her. But, like, yeah, that was an improvement from the book as well. Like... And to say, like, in the book, the father goes on a journey as well. It's not just Ari that's going on this journey. Like, Ari and his dad are kind of, like, reflections of each other and the way that they open up towards the very end of the book. And they seem to be alive for the first time. And it goes for the both of them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's more clear in the book. And the movie's more about him and Dante. But the book, you can see where the father and him evolve and both of them, let go of that machismo towards the end. So again, the book is more detailed.
I mean, it you can see it come together in that car scene when they're driving together. That was really lovely.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what scene that I really missed though from the book that wasn't in the movie? Remember in the very end before Ari takes Dante to the, when they have like their, we're a couple moment, and the families go bowling. And I really wanted to see that. Remember, it was Aristotle's mom and dad and Aristotle, and then it was Dante and his mom and dad. And they all went bowling and like in the book, and they just had like a night out and they hung out. And then from there is when Dante and Aristotle leave and go their own way. But again, it didn't fit with the story. Like it didn't fit with the narrative. So I get it. But I'm like, oh, that would have been so cute. I would have cried four times instead of three times, right? Like,
I thought you were gonna say the one with Isabella's character where he takes them to his like spot in the desert.
Oh yeah, that part too. So there was a deleted scene that was actually filmed though.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
I don't know about this, so you have to tell me.
Okay, so after the strike, the director was posted all this stuff on Instagram, and there was one that was a deleted scene, and it was like 20 seconds long, and it was when Aristotle takes Susie and Gina to the desert, because it's when Dante's in Chicago, and he takes them out there, and he's telling them or whatever, and he mentions light pollution. He's like, yeah, there's no light pollution out here. And they're both like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Like, and not in those words, but they kind of like don't get it. And then so I think it was such a recurring like term in the movie that if they would have left that that scene in there, I was like, oh, that would have been beautiful, because it just shows Dante gets Ari. Dante gets it, because Dante's the first one who brought up the light pollution and told him what it was about. And then he says it again in the movie. And I think the mom says it, and the dad says it, and then he says it again. And then so when they say it, when he tells these outsiders about light pollution, they're kind of like, I don't know what they said, but it was something along the lines like, what do you mean? Like, what does that mean? And he was just like, yeah, like, you know, nothing.
That would have been a really good scene.
Because remember in the book, he takes them there a couple times. They go buy beer and like smoke weed, and they're in the, they go do their thing.
They're more friends, and it's more like pronounced in the book that they are friends towards the end.
Yeah.
Like, he's not completely annoyed by them. But, oh my God. So there's in the party, I noticed this, and I noticed it was for me because I'm gay, right? And I zoomed right in on that. At the party, when he's walking in, there's like two girls kissing on the car, and I was like, that was for me.
We have to put this movie back on.
Right, I don't remember that part either.
Oh, I saw it. Look, I confirmed it, because on the third try, I was like, no, I'm not crazy, right? And I like zoomed in, and I was like, yeah, those are two girls kissing on the car as he's walking into the party. Right at the end. And then I was like, of course, why wouldn't he feel like accepted here? But again, it's not that. It's always just about what's going on inside of Ari versus everyone around him telling him, we accept you. Like, the whole book is like, we've been known. It's super obvious to literally everyone's eyes except you, boo. You the one in denial. Because like the dad, the mom, Dante's parents, everybody was new except for Ari. He was the last one to get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you watch that scene right at the end of the party scene.
We'll do it right now, once we're done here. I guess we'll watch it again.
I guess you have to watch it eight times.
Yeah, and then nine, because we forgot to see it. So yeah.
Dang.
But yeah, no, it's all there. That's why I was like, you didn't see it, Maitha, but I had to bring it up anyways. But yeah, I think like the whole movie is like a really powerful story about how like love heals and love can save. And if you let go of your machismo and just admit that like you can love and you're capable of it, even if it is another dude, you know, like you're like, wow, wait a minute. I have a heart. You know, it's like the Grinch's heart growing. That was Ari at the very end. His heart grew. So shout out to love. It healed his whole family. Shout out to Dante.
Seriously. And I think, everything about that movie. Shout out to the team, the creative team, the author, the director, the actors, the everybody, PAs,
everybody, the crew, editors,
crafty.
Editors, oh my God,
the truck.
Oh, there's a fun story about that truck. I'm not gonna say it. I don't know the facts. I did see something on the Instagram. Oh my God, I just feel like I just aged myself.
Your age is showing.
Stop. No, I'm so young. On Instagram, that the director posted something about the truck. She said that they ordered the red truck, and then when they delivered it, it was the wrong color. So I think it was like a plum. Or she said it was like a plum or something. So they had to get somebody to like wrap it really quick, like the day of the shooting. Because it's very specifically red.
Yeah,
and so that just shows you the care she put into the movie, the care that went into creating this and it shows, right? Look how we're over here gushing about it. I can spend like 3 more hours talking about how beautiful it is, and like, you know, I'll love to do it. So it just shows like care and genuine heart, you know, really went into this. And I think that's, you know, that's so rare, I feel like, today. And it's just so beautiful to see. And I just, I don't know. I can talk about it all the time. Let's do a part two of the podcast. Do it again tomorrow. I don't know.
Tomorrow. I was like, indies, like, I feel like indies always try a little bit harder. Like, especially when they're like, I don't know, when they're like little homegrown, little indie stories that could, you know? Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate this movie. And literally I had like 6-7 producers that had to jump on board to give that money out. So shout out to all those people that made it happen.
Seriously.
Because it was a little movie that could.
I hope it ends up on like a nice, like, out loud streaming platform where people can see it, you know, even if it's in fucking June, fucking Pride Month, some shit. But I would love for people to be able to access this. I know that you mentioned some sites that you can watch it on, but generally it's not super available, but worth figuring it out. So,
oh yeah, get a library card, 100%. Download the Libby app, download Hoopla, or if you all have, what's the other one, Canvas or
Libby?
I don't know what it's called. Yeah, get Libby, and from there, you know, get a library card. Having fun isn't hard, okay? So that's so lame, but it's true.
No, that's a great
slogan. You don't have to pay for that. You know, the library has everything. And books are everything. Books are powerful. Movies are powerful. I love this movie. 6 pan dulces. Watch it with your mom, your grandma, your little cousin.
Invite me. Such
a good movie. I'll invite you. We can watch it 20 more times. I loved it. I'll cry again.
I'm down. I'll come over and watch it in a bustier.
In my swimming outfit
to get it ready for Halloween. So let me know.
Watch him fly to fucking Dallas.
Yeah,
come
in the bustier.
Come to
in
Dallas. The
bustier. Well, I mean, you know, when in Texas, we gotta be Selena.
Of course.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You'll blend right in with everyone else that's already wearing their bustier.
That's what we dress like.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
What about y'all? What would y'all rate it?
Oh yeah. So we have a rating system. Going through it really quickly. Actually, this is kind of a refresher for the podcast too, because we haven't talked about it for like years. But on my end, I rate it by cafecitos. Basically, how many cafecitos did I need to get through the movie? So a really good movie is 0 cafecitos, which is what I'm giving Aristotle and Dante. And yours?
Can be anything. It can be like 5 bustiers.
I'm going to give it 20 tissues because that's what it took to wipe my tears of happiness and joy. What a beautiful, wonderful, miraculous spectacle it was. And yeah, what else can I rate it? I don't know. This is a lot.
Well, Cynthia.
You can call me cabrona. I don't want my employers to find me. I usually do like pan dulces, so I usually do like 5 as like a perfect, and when I really like something I go above and beyond, so I'll do like 6 pan dulces, you know. And in this case maybe like 6 no light pollutions. So
Oh, that's so, you know what, that's my next tattoo, or my first tattoo. No light pollution.
Okay.
Shout out to H and Benjamin for giving me that to put on my body forever.
Yes. But yeah, so everyone watch that, read it, watch it,
please
tattoo it on your body, please.
All right, Danny. Well, thanks for coming on to talk about These Little Gay Boys. We couldn't have done it without you, especially not for 49 minutes.
Wow. Thank you guys for having me. I'm excited to talk about it. And of course, anything for my fan, Salinas.
Oh, that's so cute.
Oh, no, I use my real name, don't worry.
Okay. I got scared. Oh, shit. Take one. Let's go.
My real fake name, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your real fake name. Yeah. But yeah, so where can they find us?
Oh yeah, we're on everything at CYC Podcast. I'm at everything at Mite the Panda, MYTE Panda.
I'm at Cabrona everywhere. If you follow me on Instagram, that's my real Instagram. So I might not actually let you follow that one, but you can follow me on Twitter. I'm going to always call it that. And then if you complaints, comments, concerns, hate mail, send it to CYCpodcast@gmail.com.
CYCpodcastmail@gmail.com. Ooh. I mean, you can do the other
podcast
one too.
Mail. Yes.
I don't know who you're going to get at that one, but Yeah, thanks
send the hate mail there.
Actually, send the hate mail there. Yeah, but thanks for listening. Follow our Patreon. We'll post eventually. And thanks for sticking with us, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.